Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Monday. Ouch, but okay, let's go. New work week ahead. First full work week of 2025, which means a lot of you are back into your regular routine starting today. I know that as we were driving back from Houston through, our first stop was Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So we went Houston, Louisiana, Mississippi, and then from Mississippi to Alabama to Tennessee to Virginia. We stopped in Bristol, Virginia on our second night. There was snow, actually, in Bristol, and it was cold, which I love, but my husband is allergic to cold. And then we went from Virginia to West Virginia to Maryland to Pennsylvania to New Jersey. And we got back and through the Virginia mountains before what is an pretty incredible winter storm that's making its way right now across toward the mid-Atlantic states. I know my brother and his family are expecting 5 to 8 inches of snow. So I talked to my younger niece on Sunday there near Dulles Airport, and she is all excited about snow. She and I both love snow. I'm a little bit bummed that we're too far north. Already this winter, we've been too far south to get the snow from New England and other parts of the upper Midwest. Now we're too far north. Are you kidding me? I don't want to be too far north. I want to be in the snow. But I was glad to get through it. Princess Leia rocked it, by the way. We put, I'm not exaggerating about this, nearly 4,000 miles on the car in the last 2 weeks. Ryan, she is a 2015, but just went over 180K on this trip.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so we had one tire that was, it wasn't going down or anything, but the cold, it lost some air. So we had to put tire in. We had to put a new battery in because the battery was dead, but only after Christmas. So it sat there for a day and a half after we got back to my mom's on Christmas Eve and thankfully made it there before the battery died. So the battery died. We had to replace that. And then also, just for fun, some new wheel bearings while we were in Texas. But otherwise, she was great.
No other issues. Than the couple issues.
Well, no, I mean, it's great that the issues didn't occur while we were in the middle of a big, long drive. So Princess Leia rocked it, and she had a car carrier on the top for the first time. That's never happened. Don't tell the company, but the Comrex, the piece of equipment that we used to do shows. So I did 4 shows from Houston in the Pillow Fort. That piece of equipment, which is relatively expensive, at least on a radio budget, it was on top of the car the entire time we were driving back.
Where's the Comrex? Middle of West Virginia somewhere.
Oh, don't say that. No, it was definitely fastened down. It was an enclosed car carrier. But yes, I did ask my husband every single morning, are you sure it's okay up there? Are you sure it's okay up there? We don't have the money to pay the company back for a damaged piece of equipment like that. So that was kind of fun. Did our road trip. Made it through before the snow arrived. And now we're back. And as I was saying, there were a lot of people on the roads. Saturday especially, coming from, going through the mountains in Virginia. Not just a ton of semis, but a lot of people from all over the place heading presumably back toward the Northeast to begin their 2025 en fuego. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 855-212-4227, at A Law Radio Online. Also, our show Twix at Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page, too. And thanks again for all of your amazing holiday messages, but also the congratulations and kind words about 12 years now on After Hours. We're into year number 13. I don't believe in luck, either good or bad, so we're not going to call it lucky number 13, but I think I'm going to do a blog post that is kind of answering the question of what people ask me a lot. People who want to get into the business, they say to me, what's one piece of advice you would give Oh, right. One piece of advice that's going to be the key to get into this business. That's why Ryan's cackling in the control room. There is no one piece of advice that will end. Yep. There's no one path that will get you into this business if this is what you want to do, whether in front of the microphone or behind the glass. But I've decided I'll do a blog post to start the new year and to start year number 13. 12 lessons I've learned in 12 years of after hours, something along those lines. Because honestly, I never thought that I'd still be here 12 years later when we launched the network. But as the only original host left, I feel old, but B, I think 22-year-old Ryan just raised his eyebrows at me. We're 22 now or 23? 23. He wants me to know he's 23. He wants you to know he's 23. I've been in the business longer than Ryan's been alive, which I'm proud of, because there's no shortcut to experience. I would not go back and do it all over again, Ryan, if I were 23. Well, I wouldn't go back to 23. I lived through a lot of crap in this business and a lot of climbing and a lot of moving around. And if you're going to stay in this business, you may have to do the same thing, right? I know you've been after a full-time job here at the network. And I believe it's going to happen at some point, either here or somewhere else, if the company doesn't wake up. But I wouldn't go back and start all over again at 23 and may have to work my way through it. No way.
It's been a lot the last 2 years.
Yeah, it is a lot until you hook on. And so I'm grateful for this network and really excited about the fact that I've been in this place for 12 years. I was actually saying to my husband, I've never been in one place this long, not since I was a kid in school. I just haven't stayed put. I've been a nomad because of radio for so many years. But it's been amazing to be here and watch not just the show grow and our audience grow, who cares about social media, but also to see the connections that we've established. And I think we've actually had 12 different producers over the 12 years as well. No, it's not because I chased them away. It's because overnights are hard. That really is the reason. And there's not much money in radio. All right, 855-212-4227. We're going to get back to some football. But Jerry is listening in Washington, D.C., and apparently is driving through the weather. What's it like, Jer?
It is crazy out here. Some parts of Washington, D.C. has been salted. Some parts have not been touched. I'm going to have to make a contact with my mayor and like, look, you got to do better than this. East of the river is crazy, but I'm having a good time. My passengers, I got them to where they had to go safely. I'm about to head on home.
Okay.
But I wanted to thank you for everything you've done. I've been following you for a long time, and I'm the one that my thing going on. Listen to that. But I just enjoy. Look, I'm so happy for you, what you're doing, the travel, everything. It's beautiful. I know we talked a lot about gardening and doing things with vegetables and everything. I've taken a different direction because I got back into school at 62. I'm a triple major at Georgetown University.
Whoa!
Don't figure. But when I get one thing established, you are going to be the first to know about it because it deals with athletes and their neurological status. I promise you, I will do that for you.
Oh, thank
you. Only you first. Okay.
All right. Well, you pay attention to the road and to your lady there who's talking to you, your maps that are directing you where to go. And just please be safe. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Amy.
Happy New Year, Jerry.
Happy New Year.
Was that, I don't know what her name is. Does she have a name? Is that Alexa in the background?
Siri?
Oh, is it Siri?
Yeah.
I just know that whoever it is that speaks to him on Google Maps, she was talking to him.
Because I make a left in like half a mile.
That's the same. Same voice that I hear. I'm not creative enough to change the voice. I've actually got friends who've got a British voice, or in some cases, if you use Waze, you can get Roger Federer or other voices. I just go with whatever voice is on there. And sometimes she annoys me, so I don't listen to her at all. It just cracks us up because we can hear it through the radio. All right, let's talk to a different Jerry. He's in Detroit. Jerry, welcome to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome.
Love listening to you. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 75 years. I wish I could say young, but the clock keeps moving on. And I have a story for you that I don't think that any other Lions fan over the last 75 years can replicate. When I was 8, my 54-year-old father, got a late start, said to me, "Jerry, I have tickets to the 1957 championship game for the Lions versus the Browns." It was Jimmy Brown's first year with Cleveland. I was over the top. I couldn't believe that I was going to a game with my dad. What could be more special? Well, as luck would have it, I got the mumps.
Oh, no.
My Uncle Al, I can see the smile on his face, may he rest in peace, all these years later. And my dad said, "Jerry, don't feel bad. I'll take you next time." Well, there hasn't been a next time.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what do you say? Well, all I can say is this. I'm so ecstatic for the Lions. Their defensive display was short of miraculous. They played together as a team. But Aaron Glenn, I don't know what it's going to cost for the Lions to keep him running the defense. But if they got to pay the guy $5 million, whatever, he knows that there's something special going on in Detroit. He stayed on this year, and I think he's going to stay with the Lions. And I think the Lions are only on the way up. Will they make the Super Bowl this year? I sure as heck hope so. You have my phone number. If anyone in your listening audience wants to reward a handicapped senior citizen, please call the show. I've got one dear friend that goes grocery shopping for me, takes me to the doctor. I said to him, if I ever could go to a Lions game, you're going to be my driver. So maybe divine providence will intervene. Again, thank you so much for the wonderful job you do. You'll never be boring. I love listening to you. And go Lions. And I look forward to you completing your now 13th year and going on to Radio Hall of Fame. You and Paul Harvey next to each other, what could be better?
Oh, my gosh. Jerry, that is such a high compliment. I appreciate that. And I'm rooting for you. I want you to get to that championship game. Maybe you telling your story here on the Infinity Sports Network will work. And if you are in a way that you need to have disability seating, something along those lines, those are generally better seats, I think, too. So somebody might want to take you up on that so they can have you as their way to get closer to the action. I really do hope that for you. What a sweet story. Well, a sweet, bittersweet story. But thank you for sharing it with me, sir.
Thank you so much. And you never know.
That's true.
God is on our side. So Lions, help me out a little bit.
Nice. Happy New Year, Jerry. I hope you get everything that you wish for.
Thank you so much.
You're
and
welcome.
This is a good start. Thank you again.
Oh, that's really sweet. Oh my gosh, what a story. He got the mumps and his dad said, "You'll go next time." Oh no.
Ooh.
Right. And he's been waiting all this time, but see, he's still here. He's still alive and he's cognizant. He's following them. He's happy. So if nothing else, he can tell that story and have that memory, as painful as it was when he was 8. Fact is, he's still around and the Lions have a chance this year to do it. Can you imagine, Ryan? The number of stories out there, generational stories of grandparents and then parents, and now some of them are older in their 70s like this, and have waited and waited and waited and are hoping, maybe still hoping, that they can share it with an elderly family member before they pass away. I know when the Red Sox finally won the World Series, going back to ending their 86-year drought right in 04, that was what we kept hearing all over the country, but really in New England. I was working in local radio at the time, is the number of people who had stories about elderly family members or having shared an experience with a family member who is now passed and how this just brought that home for them. I mean, you wait this long and there are generations and stories that go along with those generations of of sadness that can be turned into joy in an instant.
It's been 14 years since my favorite football team has made the playoffs, so it's
seriously, I don't need to roll my eyes at you, do I?
It's not my fault I picked the team. Blame my dad.
That's true. Well, could you imagine sharing something like that with your dad if they ever were to get back to the playoffs and then eventually maybe challenge for a Super Bowl?
It's never going to happen.
Did you think that Aaron Rodgers was the answer?
For a little bit, then his Achilles popped.
Right.
That's when it all went downhill.
Four plays in. Yeah, that's a big story that has to be answered in the afternoon, in the off season as well. Maybe next afternoon. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's do one more here. John's in Buffalo. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, how you doing? Happy New Year.
You too, sir.
Yeah, I got to ask for you. You got to be the objective one here, obviously, being from Buffalo, but happy wild card weekend coming up this coming week. And, man, you know, I just do not see this ending very well for Bo Nix. I'm just of a, in a general sense, I've never been a fan of rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs making their first start, especially on the road. And speaking from experience, especially in a hostile environment like we have here in Buffalo. But maybe you can convince me that I should, be a little more humble here in thinking Denver actually has a fighting chance.
Well, of course they do. I mean, you can't be naive enough to believe that there can't possibly be a game where either Josh Allen turns the ball over too much. And, I mean, we've seen those games before from Josh. Not often, and not this year, but we've seen them. Or other members of the offense don't produce. It's not a world-class set of wide receivers, right? There are a few there that have done great work. Josh has raised the level of play for everyone around him, which is one of the reasons why he's a candidate for MVP, but it's not like he's surrounded by Hall of Famers. It's been really neat to see James Cook thrive this season, and of course they've had other guys come along like Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir, but Khalil Shakir is their leading wide receiver, so that tells you something. Josh can distribute the ball to a lot of different people, and that's on him, but if he happens to have an off game of sorts, I mean, look what happened to Sam Darnold and the Vikings on Sunday night. Sam had a really tough game, overthrowing pretty much everyone, and they didn't score a touchdown. So it can happen. I do believe that there is a lot to be said about rookie quarterbacks getting into the playoffs. We know no team with a rookie QB has ever won a Super Bowl, and there's good reason. But Bo is playing great right now. He just finished on a high note in the regular season. He only missed on 3 pass attempts all day, 4 passing touchdowns, 321 yards. And he also is developing a rapport with that receiver core there in Denver. So I would, of course, agree with you that this is a game that heavily favors the Bills, though the Broncos are not going to be intimidated by cold or snow or anything that happens there. And they've got nothing to lose. And that's the thing, John. Always the team that's on the road, who doesn't have a lot of pressure, who has no expectations, that's the team that has nothing to lose, which means that they can play with wild abandon, almost with the house money. Whereas with Josh Allen and the Bills, they've played so well to get to this point, another division title, but they get here and everybody knows that their window, right? It's been open because of Josh, but they have not capitalized on it. So the pressure firmly falls on the shoulders of Sean McDermott and his coaching staff, and of course Josh and the other veterans on that team. But the defense is playing lights out. I mean, it's playing well above or ahead of schedule, I would guess, with all the different changes they've had this year. It's been amazing to see how Sean has kept them all together. The leadership in the locker room has, as I say, raised the bar for the new guys, set the standard for the new guys. I think they're in a good spot as the 2 seed, but I do think there's always a chance. You get to the playoffs and anything can happen.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you make great points, and that's why I called you. And real quickly before, you let me go, the chances of all the favorites going 6-0, we all know it usually doesn't happen that way. So
right.
if you were gonna give me looking at the card early here, if you were gonna give me your underdog this coming week, I'm not sure if you're gonna pick Denver, but I mean, who do you see bringing the upset out of this crop of the first six games. And other than that, I'll hang up now and, again, wish you a happy new year.
Thank you.
You take care. Thanks.
Thanks, Sean. Good to talk to you. Happy new year to you as well. I don't know, because I don't know the spreads. I don't know who are the official underdogs and who aren't. But I do think the Chargers and the Texans is a really intriguing game. The Texans have not played great football over the last month, even 6 weeks. I know they've suffered a few injuries, but their offense has struggled at times. Think about that game against the Ravens a couple of weekends ago when they only managed a safety. That was it. No points offensively. I know they beat the Titans on Sunday, but they lost to the Chiefs before that. They barely beat the Dolphins, I guess, starting December, somewhere in there. Barely beat the Jaguars when they were on the road in Jacksonville. So they've not played great over the course of this last month or 6 weeks. So I think they could be ripe for, if you would call it an upset, I'm using my air quotations, not sure what the line is again. And I think all bets are off when you put two teams from the same division on the field in a playoff game. So that's another one that I think is intriguing. As well as we've seen Washington handle pressure cooker situations, Tampa Bay has also got a propensity for turnovers now and then. Now they're playing better, but Baker Mayfield, I mean, he can turn the ball over with the best of them when he goes all gunslinger on the field. And so you look at what they've done over the past 7 weeks. It's been impressive. They finished up with 10 wins. Six of them came in the last 7 weeks. But before that, they had dropped five of six and had lost four in a row against teams like the Ravens, the Falcons, the Chiefs, even the Niners. So I don't think that Tampa Bay is a sure thing either. And I'm being snarky because there's no such thing as a sure thing this time of the year. I also am really looking forward to the Vikings and the Rams to see what that young Rams defense, who got torched actually on Sunday. I know they weren't playing a lot of their starters, but that Rams team that gets to host the Vikings, who, of course, understand now by not winning the NFC North, they don't have the luxury of the week off. So there's a lot of intriguing battles that we'll get wild card weekend. At A-Law Radio, running a little bit late. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll give you a piece of Broncos history, only because they ended one of the longest playoff droughts in the NFL. And yes, they will go on the road against Buffalo coming up in wild card weekend in a week. 855-212-4227. Can't believe that it's time. It's time, you guys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Nix with the pistol set. Fakes the end around. Dumps it to Mims. Mims gets a block, and he's loose. 20, 15, 10. Down the left sideline. 5. Touchdown, Denver. What a nice way to walk back in the booth. Couldn't have scripted that any better.
Nix in the gun. Nix, quick throw to Mims, right side. Mims needs a block. He gets it inside the 5, leads to the pylon. Touchdown, Denver. Marvin Mims, his second receiving touchdown today. Steal on the carry off the right side. And that will bring an end to the game. And they are celebrating here. Why not? Sean Payton on his way to shake hands with the guy that he has the utmost respect for, and Andy Reid, two veteran coaches, two Super Bowl championship coaches.
This is when it gets fun, as if it wasn't already, but this is when, you know, the great teams, they just, they show up, and, you know, we're really looking forward to and working hard to becoming one of those great teams.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Denver Broncos rookie quarterback Bo Nix, starting from the beginning of the season, finishing with his best game. 26 of 29 for 329 yards. Also ran for nearly 50 yards. 4 touchdown passes. A near perfect QB, well, not QB rating, passer rating, just to be technical about it. There's 2. There's QBR and then there's passer rating. So a near perfect passer rating for Bo on this final Sunday. And the Broncos lock up a playoff spot. So after years of futility, revolving door of coaches and coordinators and quarterbacks, not to mention members on both sides of the ball, they finally have got the right formula with Sean Payton and Bo Nix. And man, the fans reveling in their return to the playoffs for the first time in nearly a decade, a 9-year drought.
It's huge. I mean, the fans have been awesome, you know, ever since I've come here, and, you know, they've really, you know, wanted this, and the fact that we're able to, you know, give it to them is something that we really take pride in and are excited about.
Zach Allen, just one of the guys talking about the fans in the wake of this game in which they skunked the Chiefs 38-0. So weird. I know it was Carson Wentz and it was mostly Chiefs backups, not their starters. But to see that score against the 2-time defending Super Bowl champion is just odd. And they were on point. They'd lost a couple of games in a row. They'd missed opportunities to clinch before this. And so to see them come out like a house on fire, you could tell they were supremely motivated. So, congratulations to Sean Payton. Now you get the Buffalo Bills on Wild Card Weekend.
That's why they're the 2-seed. And we're going to have a great week of preparation, and we'll get ready to go.
My hat goes off to Denver. Great opportunity for them getting in the playoffs. They did a nice job today. Sean's done a good job with that group.
So, yes, the Broncos get the Bills coming up next weekend. And, of course, the Chiefs already had the first round bye. You hear Andy Reid. So the last time that the Broncos beat the Chiefs like this, it's been a long time, right, because the Chiefs have been dominating that division. But the Chiefs haven't had a shutout in 13 years. They haven't been shut out in 13 years. So not since December 16th, 2012 at Oakland, which tells you something since there's no longer an at Oakland. So we're talking about the playoff matchups. We'll do a lot more of that this week because we're just now getting the schedule. But we see that on Saturday, once again, the Texans play at 3:30 Central Time. I had no idea because I don't track this type of thing, though I think if you asked me, just because this is our 13th playoffs, that sounded funny. This is our 13th playoff season that we'll have done as a network. So because the network launched on January 1st, 2013, we dumped ourselves right into the thick of, and at that point it was playoffs. The regular season ended with the calendar year. And so there were no regular season games into the new year. So we jumped right in and started talking about NFL playoffs, which is perfect, of course, because people are anxious to hear it. So as we go into another round of playoffs here, I think if you had asked me, when does Houston typically play? I would have said Saturday afternoon, because it feels like that is the way that it's gone. Let's see, Texans. I know that there are a bunch of tweets out there, so I want to make sure I find it. Texans playoff schedule, because there was someone who had gone back and actually done the research to look at it. And as it turns out, every single wild card game in their playoff history has been on Saturday afternoon at 3:30 Central Time. All right, let me see if I can find it.
Adam Spillane.
Adam Spillane.
Supposedly it's started in 2011. It's been a while.
Okay, so going back, Adam Spillane. Thank you for finding it. Actually, I think I favorited it, well, liked it on my Twix, and just didn't, just forgot about that part. So if you are a Texans fan and this feels all too familiar to you, it's like death and taxes, because this is just what they do. The NFL puts them in that 3:30 Central Time spot, which I suppose you could take as an insult. If it were me and I was a member of the Texans or a Texan fan, I'd want to get it over with. Let's go. I don't want to sit all the way through the weekend and watch what else happens. Let's just get our game done, get it over with, and then we can enjoy the rest of the weekend. So, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with it being right off the top. because then, of course, you get nervous if you just sit and watch, especially if there are upsets. They kind of rattle you a little bit and can play with your mind. So for Broncos, back in the postseason, I just told our caller from Buffalo, of course, the Bills have many advantages, but one of the advantages is that the Broncos have zero expectations. Very few people would look at the Broncos and say there's a Super Bowl contender right there. And yet this is playoff experience. So this is what you build on when you have a young team. And I like the makeup of the team as well. It's a lot of young players. There are very few left over from even like two coaches ago, for heaven's sakes. But what you hear from Bo Nix and what you see from Bo Nix is that it's a group that's really together and are kind of figuring it out as they go.
Not a lot of prima donnas on a team, not a lot of, issue makers. And we just, we all have one goal, and that's to go out there and win for our team. And, you know, it's funny, we kind of doubled what a lot of people thought we were going to win.
Ryan, I've not ever heard that phrase before, issue maker. Would you consider yourself an issue maker?
I hope not. Personally, no. Maybe a prima donna, but not an issue maker.
You can't be a prima donna. No, you can't. That's not you. Your personality is not prima donna.
Not yet.
No. Oh, not great. After. As you're searching for a full-time job in this business, he's promising that at some point he'll be a prima donna. The Lions are wrapping the regular season on a high note, and we now have 272 games in the books. So it's fun to look ahead and think about wildcard weekend, not to mention the two college football semifinals that take place on Thursday and Friday. And yes, many questions to be answered. We know Gerard Mayo has been fired by the Patriots after 1 year. I am blown away by that. I did not think that was the choice Bob Kraft would make. Shows you how much I know. But it's not in keeping with who he is or who he has been as an owner. But you know, the last few years have been tough. It's just that he handpicked Gerard Mayo and wrote it into his contract that he would be the successor to Bill Belichick. And so this is, yeah, it's a turnabout, if you will, a 180 for Bob Kraft. And I wonder how much the fan discontent, the fan reaction to the last month had to do with it. So Gerard Mayo is gone. Mike McCarthy, not necessarily getting a vote of confidence from Jerry Jones, only that Jerry believes in him as a coach, thinks he's a really good coach. That's why he's in Dallas, blah, blah, blah. And says that even though he hasn't already made up his mind, the hay is in the barn, meaning he's got everything he needs to make the decision. There are others. Doug Peterson in Jacksonville seems to be a foregone conclusion for a lot of analysts. And on, and if you're adding insult to injury, the winter storm that is kind of making its way, well, it's now in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area, but it was making its way across the center part of the country, right? So it dumped a ton of snow in Kansas City. The Chiefs plane got grounded before it could get out to Denver on, I think that was Saturday. Well, how about the Jaguars? They were trying to get out of Indianapolis following their loss to the Colts on Sunday, and they ended up having their charter delayed 7 hours. So how about this? This is my worst nightmare. I don't care if I don't love when planes are delayed, but if I'm in the airport, I feel better about life. I'm not claustrophobic, but if I had to sit inside a plane for 7 hours, seven, the longest I've ever done inside a plane, not in flight, but on a tarmac, is 3. And I was about to go stir crazy, but they didn't want us to get off the flight because they were waiting for an opening. There were thunderstorms in Chicago. They just needed us to be ready to take off whenever they would get the signal from the control tower. So we had to stay on the plane. But 7 hours, the players and staff stayed on the plane on the tarmac for 7 hours at the Indianapolis airport.
I'd like to hope there's like beds and
sure,
card games.
It is a charter. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they did lose, and it's the end of a rough season. But you're right. The charters are much more comfortable, and I'm sure they had food. I'm sure they had whatever they needed, and probably a lot of them were sleeping or were relaxing. The flight departed at 1 o'clock Eastern time, so not long before we started the show. But with the winter storm warnings and the heavy snow at times, the Chiefs actually decided to stay in Denver overnight instead of trying to get back to Kansas City. So they decided they did not want to sit on their charter flight for 7 hours. Yeah, so that storm, adding insult to potential firing for Doug Peterson, having to stew in it a little bit longer. I know a lot of people are thinking Antonio Pierce in Vegas is probably 1.5 and done. Remember, he was the interim head coach for the second half of last year. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I don't think Zach Taylor is going to end up fired. I mean, they played really well at the end of the season, not to mention he and Joe Burrow have a great relationship in Cincinnati, though certainly disappointing. The Raheem Morris Falcons arc this season has been rough because he's a defensive guy, and that defense was not good. It got blasted by Dave Canales and Bryce Young and the Panthers. In fact, they ended up losing in a walk-off to the Panthers. This is after Atlanta had already been eliminated from the playoffs, so that's a big deal. Michael Penix is awesome. I love what we've seen from him the last month, and it's likely that he's their quarterback moving forward, and they won't go back to Kirk Cousins, but Raheem Morris is a defensive guy, and their defense has been a mess. So there's another one where I wonder, though I don't love the one and done. I don't advise it. Well, who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing some others. There have been some talk about Shane Steichen in Indianapolis.
Gannon.
Oh, yeah. But I don't.
Thomas Brown's out, so that's.
Yeah, I don't think so. We can talk about the Saints situation too with Darren Rizzi, and he was answering questions about his future. But I got to go record a CBS. Oh, it's not called CBS anymore. I got to record a Sports Minute about the Lions, and then we'll talk more about this off-season business, if you will. And did you hear about Geno Smith's bonus? Wowzers! Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the snap, the fake to Boone. Young backpedals, rolling to his right. He can run for it. He's got the 10. He's got the 5. Bryce into the end zone, and Carolina takes the lead. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns today for Bryce Young.
Here's Bijan, bouncing left, circling all the way to the left side. He'll score. Bijan Robinson in the end zone. Touchdown Atlanta. Meanwhile, the Buccaneers had the ball back with 36 seconds left. New Orleans only has one timeout. Rattler threw incomplete to Wilson on 4th and 5 at the Tampa 32. It's an 8-point Buccaneer lead. And essentially, it looks like Tampa's going to win the NFC South.
Young is under center. Here's the snap. Sanders up the middle, charging through the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina. The Panthers walk it off to end the season.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wow, what a dramatic finish between the Panthers and the Falcons. And you hear in there that the Falcons get eliminated from playoff contention when the Bucs win the NFC South and their victory over New Orleans. So they were all intertwined. Anish Shroff and Wes Durham on Panthers and Falcons radio. And last segment, I forgot to mention Dave Logan on Broncos radio. This was a big deal for Bryce Young and Dave Canales. And if you did not see them celebrate when this game was won in overtime, well, then you were missing out. They made major progress in this first year with Canales working with Bryce Young. Remember, he got benched earlier in the season, and yet here they are. And Bryce is grinning, and so is his head coach after the victory.
That was interesting. In classic Panthers fashion, you end up on the 6-inch line again. And we've spent a good amount of time this year inside the 5-yard line, you know. So the guys are comfortable playing there.
Everyone was so resilient today. Everyone understood. You know, we were playing for ourselves. You know, coach talked about finish all week. This was such a great opportunity for us. You know, just as a team to finish, to go in and you know, just prove what we can do.
Meanwhile, on the other side of this, the Falcons not just lose the game, but because they played fast and loose with the last month of the season, they also end up on the outside of the playoffs looking in Raheem Morris's first season.
Really proud about young stud quarterback giving us a chance, keep us in that football game. going out there, being able to deal and do the things that he was able to do. We couldn't stop him. Hats off to the Carolina Panthers and their offensive scheme and what they was able to do today. And you got to give those guys credit where credit is due.
Michael Penix, he's the bright light, I suppose, for the Falcons. And actually, not just him. Drake London, terrific. What they've gotten with Bijan Robinson in a couple of years, all of that is great. The issue, as Raheem Morris points out, has been the defense and the fact that, I mean, that's his bread and butter. And yet, they really struggled over the course of the last couple of weeks and had it. They had it there in the NFC South before the Bucs came on strong. Question we have to answer in the South is about the Saints and their coaching staff. That's one of them. So Darren Rizzi was asked whether or not he will be back next season.
I'm emotional because I really wanted to get this win today to end the season on a positive note for everybody, the team, the organization, the city, the fan base. So, you know, I really haven't started to process all the, you know, all that part of it yet.
I am sure that the Saints are going to conduct a search. I kind of wonder about some of the other changes, too, with New Orleans. They've really struggled the last couple of years, and it's been a revolving door. Gosh, similar to the Panthers, also in the NFC South division. Maybe they've finally gotten comfortable with Dave Canales, and they feel comfortable with Bryce Young now. But the Saints wrap up with a four-game losing skid, and so they will likely be looking to hit a home run when it comes to their coaching search. And then with the Falcons, well, I don't think they're going to make a change from Raheem Morris. Really disappointing for them to end up losing six of their last eight and coming up short in his first season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.